He was a great teacher. He was a great healer. He was just great in every way. But the thing I find about his life is that it's not just what he said or what he did. Everything that happened in his life seems to have some meaning. It all seems to have some meaning. And Steve this morning found, I think, that you know, there's far more than just the words we read and the things Jesus said and the things he did. There's much more in there. And there's always more to come out, isn't there, from Scripture. Scripture is wonderful. And as I was looking into this passage of Scripture, I mean, on the surface of it, we've got an account of two healings, haven't we? We've got a leper healed. We've got a paralytic healed. That really is the story, as the account, and all the little bits and pieces that went with it are there. But it's really to tell us about two healings. As I was going through, as I said, I found much more. And some things which I found challenging and which I want to bring to you this evening, and you may be challenged by them. You may feel it's old hat, and I don't claim it to be anything new, but it just surprised me as I was looking at a count of two healings, what came to me. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at it through the people involved, and of course they are. We have Jesus, he's central to everything, and we also have a leper, and we have some people described as Pharisees and teachers, and then we have a paralytic man and his friends who brought him to Jesus. So let's start off with the leper, this leper here. We read in verse 12, don't we, that a man who had leprosy saw Jesus. No, it doesn't say that, does it? He was full of leprosy, a man who was absolutely full of leprosy. And now leprosy is thought, I think, not to be exactly the same disease which is known in the world today as leprosy. We don't know a great deal about it in our land, do we? But I think in some parts of Africa and Asia, it's not unknown, but maybe not precisely the same disease here. But leprosy in Bible times was a quite horrific thing, wasn't it? It was quite a horrific thing. It was something which marked you for life and marked you out from other people. It would have, his body would have been covered in lesions and sores and scabs and ulcers and things like that. He was full of leprosy. He didn't just have a touch of it. He was absolutely full of it. So he would have been quite a pitiful sight, I think, this man, and he would have been in a poor way. And I suppose it was obvious to him that he needed some help from somewhere. You know, there was no help, no cure, of course, in that day and age. But he seemed to have this idea, and he was quite sure about it, that Jesus could help him. He said, "You can make me clean." He was sure he could do it, but not quite sure that he would be willing to do it. He wasn't quite sure about that. And I guess as I look around this room this evening, I mean, what I relate this to, it was a horrible disease, but I'm going to relate that to the spiritual state of mankind, the spiritual state of mankind. We're all born with spiritual leprosy. We're all born unclean, aren't we? And it seems to get worse. You know, the condition worsens as time goes on unless it's attended to. But this man, he was sure that Jesus could make him clean. Not sure if he would. And but Jesus was willing. And to us, I think, as we're all believers here this evening, but if we, you know, are trying to bring other people to Christ, it's one thing we can be sure of, isn't it? Physical healing is one thing. That's a mystery, isn't it? How Jesus decides who and where and when to heal. Because not everyone gets healed. That's plain. That's a plain fact, isn't it? But some do. But when it comes to the state of our souls, you know, we can have no doubt. We need to have no doubts at all. If someone comes to Jesus with the state of their soul, not only is he able, but he's willing. And we can be absolutely confident when we have people come to us worried about the state of their souls. And if anyone listened to this sermon at any time who's concerned about their state before God and their uncleanness, there is no reason for them to have any worry at all. You know, there's no case too bad for Jesus. This man was full of leprosy. He had it all over. He was in a bad way. But Jesus was able and Jesus was willing. And he's always willing to bring spiritual healing. So this man came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "I am willing." And he healed him, didn't he? He healed him. He reached out his hand and touched him. And I find that quite remarkable, really, because I think they thought in that day and age that leprosy was a very, very contagious disease. Very contagious. But Jesus, he wasn't worried about that at all, of course, because he had total power over all these things, and he had no worries about touching this man. But I just want to bring us this evening a little word of warning there, really, and just a word of caution then, when we go out into the world to mix and associate with the unclean people, spiritually speaking, of the world, who are in a bad state, you know. If we're going to get in touch with them, if we're going to be in contact with them, we're not Jesus on our own. We're in a danger of being infected and of catching whatever it is they have, because the ways of the world are very infectious, very infectious. So if we're going to be mixing and in contact with people of the world, we need to put on Christ, because he's the one who is immune to all these things. The devil couldn't touch him with all his wiles. He had no worries about touching a physically unclean man. And if we're going to be mixing with a spiritually unclean people, I think we need to put on Christ. You know, we had a series on the armor, the spiritual armor, didn't we, recently? And spiritual armor is Christ, really, isn't it? I mean, he is our salvation. He is our righteousness. He is our faith. Put on Christ before we go into the world, to the unclean world. So Christ healed him. He touched him, and he healed him. And, you know, I find this next bit really ironic. He charged him to tell no one. Charged him to tell no one. But if we look in it, but even if he'd said nothing, you know, the transformation in him would have been quite something, I think. As I say, leprosy suddenly gone. He came to Jesus a leper, covered in all kinds of horrible things, and he left perfectly clean. Now, who is not going to notice that amongst the people who knew him? Who's not going to notice it? Does it notice with you and me? We've had our sins taken away from Jesus. Is the transformation remarkable? It's my second challenge that I find there. Is it noticeable in the world? And of course, transformations are most obvious at the very time they happen, aren't they, at the very beginning? But brothers and sisters, you know, every day you and I are out amongst people who are covered in sin. We're standing side by side with them. Is the difference noticeable? Can we see the ones who have been to Jesus for cleansing? Can we tell? Does it tell in you and me? I find that very challenging. Am I talking? Does it show? The leper came to Jesus, went away transformed, and told everyone. Asked to do nothing more than what the law required, to go and make his offering. It was a free gift from Jesus, but go and make your offering. And you and I too are asked to make our offering, aren't we, after we've received Jesus' cleansing, our sacrifice of praise, our sacrifice of worship, our sacrifice of service. Cleansed by Jesus, go and make our offering for our cleansing. That's the leper. Let's move on to the paralytic man. This man in verse 18 was brought in by his friends. I tell you, I love these guys. They were great, weren't they? They were real friends. It doesn't say they were friends. It just says they're men in my translation here. But they certainly were friends. I mean, this guy wanted to come to Jesus. They wanted to bring him to Jesus. But it wasn't easy, was it? It wasn't easy. They came. The place was full. They couldn't get in. I wonder what you and I would have done. Would we have said, oh, we'll come back tomorrow? Would we have said, let's hang on a bit. Maybe we'll catch him on the way out. They took the roof off. When they took the roof off to bring him to Jesus. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? That's great. I think that's absolutely great. And the challenge there is obvious, isn't it, for us? What lengths are we prepared to go to bring somebody to Jesus? Obviously, this man must have been willing. I can't see that they would have taken him up through the roof and taken the tiles off with him screaming and, you know, no, no, no. People have to be willing to be brought, don't they? But if someone's looking for Jesus, if they need some help finding him, how far are you and I prepared to go? What lengths are we prepared to go to bring them to Jesus? That's a great challenge, isn't it? Are we prepared to take the roof off to bring someone to Jesus? But they did. They brought him in, and Jesus was impressed, wasn't he? He was impressed by their faith. When he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. He didn't come for that, as far as we know. I think he came for his paralysis to be cured. But Jesus saw their faith. And faith is what's needed for forgiveness of sins, isn't it? Not for healing. This faith for forgiveness of sins. I wonder why Jesus healed his sins first. Well, I guess, illness and infirmity is a terrible thing, isn't it? It's a terrible thing. And I guess we all know people, maybe family or friends, who are not believers, who have got ill health or infirmity or whatever it is, physical problems. And we'd love to see them cured. We'd love to see them cured and made whole again. But, you know, that's only a temporary cure. That's only a temporary relief, isn't it? That's only a temporary relief. The real thing we want for them is that they come to Jesus for forgiveness of sins, because that's forever, isn't it? So Jesus, of course, went to the most important thing first. Gave him something which would last forever, throughout eternity. The man had his sins forgiven. But he did heal him. He did heal him just to prove who he was and to prove his authority. He says in verse 24, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. It's incredible. Right? It's another every time Jesus touched someone, they're transformed, aren't they? But this man came in totally dependent on other people to bring him, totally dependent on his bed to be carried on. Jesus spoke to him, set him free from all that, and he picks up his bed and he walks off on his own. The things that he totally depended on before became things that were now his possessions. He was in charge of them, and they were just convenience things for him. He was now in control of the things he depended on. He picked up his bed and he went off to his own house, glorifying God. I guess when we come to Jesus, you know, we come with all kinds of things in our life, or I know I did, all kinds of props, all kinds of things I depended on to hold me up, build me up. And I don't know what it is in this day and age, I suppose technology, music, our cars, our possessions, whatever it might be. There's all kinds of things we depend on, isn't it? But when we come to Jesus, they should all become things which are just used by us. They're not things we depend on anymore. And there's my next challenge. Am I holding on to things from my old life which I used to depend on? Or am I just depending on Jesus? Has he set me free from all these things? Am I now carrying them, or are they still holding me up? This man went away carrying his bed, glorifying God. The things that he once depended on had become just possessions for him to use. He was now in control of them, not dependent upon them. Are we dependent still on the things we used to lean on before we came to Jesus? Or are we in control of them? That's the paralyzed man. And the other group of people here, which I mentioned, are these people in verse 17. Pharisees and teachers of the law. It says in my Bible, it says it words it slightly different. It says they're sitting by. They're sitting by. It's kind of like they're there, but they're a little, they're in the back corner, out of the way. They're kind of at the meeting, but they're not involved in the meeting. That's the impression I'm getting here. They're there for a particular reason, aren't they? And the most sad thing of all is that I read at the end of that verse, the power of the Lord, it says it again in my translation, was present to heal them. It says in all the translations that the power of the Lord was present. Now, the power of the Lord was present there, but there's no record of it ever done in having done them any good. And that's sad. That's really sad to be in the place where the power of the Lord's present and not to take advantage of it. I find that's really sad. And the power of the Lord was present, of course, because Jesus was there. He is the Lord. And the great thing is, isn't it, that every time two of us or more are gathered together in his name, he's there. The power of the Lord is present. It's here this evening, isn't it? It's present amongst us this evening to heal us, to do us good. But I have to confess that sometimes I'm a bit like these guys. You know, sometimes something's got in my head and I'm just not into it, you know. Maybe the music's wrong, translation's wrong, something's wrong, you know, and you're just there and you're just not there. That's sad. Jesus is here. Whenever his people are gathered together in his name, we need to give him our all, not stand our distance, not hold him at bay. The power of the Lord was present to heal them, and they didn't take advantage of it. Are we taking advantage every time we come together with God's people? Are you taking advantage of the power of the Lord? He's here amongst us. We need to draw on it and draw from it and allow him to do us good. And the only other thing I want to bring you this evening is something which is often put before us and just something perhaps we need reminding of in verse 16. Between the healing of the leper and the paralytic man, we read that he himself, that's Jesus, of course, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now, I know we have lots of prayer meetings, and we've had prayer together this evening, and maybe you pray with a friend, or maybe you pray with your husband or wife, or maybe you pray with your children, or maybe you come to the prayer meetings. That's all great. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. But don't neglect your own personal prayer life, because if Jesus, the perfect Son of God, needed to go off on his own to be with his Father to pray, so does each, how much more does each one of us? We can easily, I think, come to rely on praying with other people. We need to have our own personal times with the Lord. That's very important. They should be guarded. Absolutely guarded. Not at the expense of the other prayers, praying with others, as well as we need our own personal times with God. Jesus needed his own personal time and to be refreshed and renewed and bring himself before the Lord. So the challenge is this evening, is your faith showing? Are you speaking about it? Am I? How far are you and I prepared to go to help someone to come to Jesus? Are we prepared to go to the lengths that these guys went to? And when we're in the meetings, are we engaging? Are we engaging with God? Or are we being critical? Are we looking around? Are we somewhere else in our minds? Draw on the power of the Lord. It's such a precious thing, isn't it? He's amongst us every time we meet. We need to take full advantage for him to allow him to do us good. The power of the Lord is present to heal us when we gather in his name. May God bless those words to us this evening. And we'll close by singing once again. Number 449.